have an old hymn. And it kind of, why do we live? I want to read from John 14. A little while, and in the world, will not see me no more. But you will see me because I live. You will live also. Why do we live? Why can we do the thing that we do? When we get into stressful situations and things beyond our ability, especially in the mission field. Because he lives, we can face anything. Our present moment, the uncertainty of tomorrow. So as we come and sing this old hymn, please sing it out, because there's so much in the words that was written so that we can live to face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he holds my future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen.
Carl, I've got it.
So singing now, why don't we all stand up and sing to our Savior? God's name is sung. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died.
See you.
Things I wanted to encourage you, no matter what, God is in control. Even though we don't understand the circumstances that Joseph was about to face, his own brothers trying to kill him, throw him in the pit, send him off to the world to be a slave, he would be an awesome picture of God's not only sovereignty, but his grace and purposes to fulfill and to save a people. So don't look at the present situation. But look at, Lord, you have an eternal plan for me in this trial, in this tribulation. So I'm not going to fear. Because perfect love, mature love, perfecting love, cast out some fear.
Let me be.
thinking that baby earlier in your arms, the joy that it brings, the peace, the security of that child in the mother or aunt or grandmother, or even a grandpa. You feel such warmth knowing that he has us in his hand and he's going to take care of us.
God with us.
One more time.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you alone became Jesus, awesome and power forever, awesome and great is your name.
Lord, we want to take a moment to thank you for overcoming death, for without that our faith would be worthless. Lord, we thank you for that amazing gift that you gave us in salvation. And we also thank you for the power to overcome anything and everything that you throw our way. In your name, we are overcomers.
You know, you may be tired and weary tonight. And this is one of my favorite songs that at the pastor's conference, Darren and I used to go years ago. And when Mary Barrett was there, she is an awesome saint now, worshiping at the feet of Jesus. And you know, there are times when we just get overrun by the trials, whether it's physical, but the struggles financially. Our feet and hands want to just fall down. Our knees kind of wobble at times. But he gives us peace. And quiets our mind. So let us help and be still before him.
Amen.
As you see, I went kind of long tonight in our worship. I just was overwhelmed with God's desire for his children to worship him. And one of the glorious opportunities I don't have the mic on yet, Jim, was worship. It was one of the instruments God used in my life to bring about healing. Not physical healing, but emotional. No, it's here. But tonight, unfortunately, because of my trip to Georgia and Virginia to see my grandsons get married,
it was a great wedding.
I didn't have time adequately to search out the research of how the nutritional part affects us spiritually. Yeah, I don't have it on. And I may need help from Joel. I hate this. So, I didn't know. I talked to Pastor Darren if he would possibly postpone it. But I think we need to come. And I want to share.
How's that?
Too much. Something the Lord laid on my mind, a little bit more, a little less. Thank you. Sometimes we can get some meaning from people, their last, their dying testimony. Can you turn on the light if you like? Thank you. And I want to go to a book. Don't know how much we cover. We probably won't do much. But I want to talk about an awesome saint who was put in a dungeon deep in a Roman prison around 66, 67 A.D. He was alone. Everyone kind of abandoned him. Did we feel abandoned at times? You've been serving all these years faithfully, being beaten up by the Gentiles, been beaten up by your own people, the Jews, in tribulations and persecutions, both inside and out, caught in storms, beaten with rods, shipwrecks. And towards the end of his life, this is book here, 2 Timothy, was his final words to a young man that he loved. He actually calls him his son. Now I want to ask some of us older guys, whose grandpa's here? Oh, Anthony, he's so young. I can relate because I have 6 great-grandchildren. Yes. And I asked my new daughter, great-granddaughter-in-law, when am I going to get my 7th? And she said, probably when I get back from Hawaii. But us older people, do we have people that we take under our arms? Do we have, as we see in 2 Timothy, he calls him my beloved son. And so I wanted to challenge us all, because us senior saints, or even some of us younger people, there may be times when we feel alone. And Paul felt that way. He had some bad people, had like Demas. He departed. He was so good in the beginning, but he departed because he loved the world. He loved the things in the world. And so he brings out a person that started so well. And we all can start well. I know I did, and I had a lot of scar tissue in my middle years. But in 2006, God says, I got one more chance. And I said, Lord, I want to finish well. I started good. I stumbled. But a righteous man stumbles, or woman, 7 times and gets back up. So in that stumbling, I said, Lord, I want to finish well. I want to be strong. And we're in times and pressures today where we're going to be challenged with our faith. And so I kind of looked up a few people about their famous last words. I come across a guy who remembers, I'll tell you age, Humphrey Bogart. Yes, he got. Okay, his dying words was, I should have never switched from scotch to martinis. All is like a great actor, but his final words was alcohol. How about Napoleon Bonaparte? What do you think his last words were?
Matt?
Give me liberty. No. Josephine. Josephine.
That was his girlfriend?
That was his wife. Joan Crawford, this one kind of saddens me. Her housekeeper began to pray out loud. And you know what she says? She said, damn it! Don't you dare ask God to help me. All her life, great success. She was a terrible mother. But famous, people idolized her. But at the end of her life, this was where her final words. A writer named Thomas Hubbard said, I am about to take my last journey or voyage, a great leap in the dark. Victor Hugo, a writer, I see black light. Edgar Allan Poe, Lord, help my poor soul. But one of the most famous for us is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so in the final words, we get the idea of the character in the heart of the person. I want to share just a few minutes about Paul leaving alone. He's actually, what he's doing is passing the mantle on, because he knows in 2 Timothy 4:6, where he knows his time, he was going to die. I have finished the race. I can't get close. I have fought the good fight. And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord will give. This is his final words, knowing that he poured his whole life into this young man, that on his first missionary journey came across in Lystra. There was a young kid named Timothy. But you know what impacted his life, this young little Timothy? Who can think of the impact that had on this young boy? Because Paul tells us he had a father that was a Gentile, a Greek. He had a mother and a grandmother. And then here in verse, I think it is in verse 5, he says, when I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelled in your grandmother, Susie. Susie, your grandmother. And your mother, Eunice. You know, parents have an awesome responsibility. The training up in their children. Unfortunately, we don't know anything about the father, whether he ever got saved or not. But apparently, the influence of the mother and father was so great that all the people, if you turn book of Acts chapter 14, he was a mighty man. They respected him. They couldn't find anything wrong. And Paul, in his second journey, when he came back with Silas, took him out. So he's encouraging his young man as he is in a prison in Rome, ready to die, passing that mantle. He remembers him. He's a young pastor in Ephesus. He left him there and he cried. And he remembers the tears when they met, when he sent him off. It was his dad, spiritual dad. And what an honor Paul must have been to think of his son taking over this church, leading the church of Ephesus. But he has these words, "My beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, in all the epistles Paul wrote, he always used what? Grace and peace. But he slipped something in here that kind of like struck me. Where did Paul use this again? He only used it in the book of Titus, his other son in the faith. Young man who went to Crete to start a church, to set in order the things. Things were out of order there. But Paul was saying, mercy be given to Paul. You know, when I began to think about God's called some foolish men to lead their families. And do I get an amen from the women? You know, God looks at it, my wife looks at me and she shakes her head and says, "God have mercy." I go, "Yes." I need God's mercy. As we are called into ministry, as this young man, as we all are, to lead our families, we're going to blow. We're going to have times when we just stumble in front of our kids, and Paul is saying, you're gonna stumble. But I'm asking God to extend mercy. Extend mercy. And mercies are new for us every morning. So as leaders of the home, and you may be a single parent, as a woman, you need God's mercy to help raise a family, to be like Eunice and Lois. But Paul goes on to say, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure heart, as my grandfather or my forefathers did, and without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers day and night." I'm going to ask you, fathers, do you pray for your kids every night?
Yes.
Do you get over them without ceasing? They need to know that you're there for them. As they're growing up, Paul is remembering in a dungeon. You know, he's not thinking about himself, but he's thinking about his young son in the faith who has some issues. he's kind of a little bit like us. And he goes on to say, "Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." And then we go on, "When I call to remember the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelled in your mother." Let me ask you, do you see genuine faith in your children? Do other people see the faith that is, when you think of genuine, what do you think of?
Real.
Kind of like not wearing a mask, kind of sincere, sees the cracks, but yet what you see is what you get. It's unhypocritical is that what that word is. And we should be seeing that in our children. Are they having their own relationship with God? One of the big failures of the nation of Israel was what? They went on the coattails of their own family. It was about their father's faith. And as soon as they went away and that generation departed, all of a sudden they went back over and over again into idolatry. But Paul had genuine faith. And Paul was trying to encourage Timothy that because of that, I want to remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, I want to encourage all of us here about this young man and with Paul saying, he didn't need extra gifts, did he? God put, God called him in the ministry. What do you think kind of gifts that he would need, Natalie, to a young kid to minister, to run a church for a century? What kind of gifts would Timothy need? What if God called Anthony here to be a pastor, a youth pastor, an old youth pastor? What kind of gifts?
I can't think that
fast. Okay. Patience. Patience, oh yeah. Pastor Darren, patience. What other gifts? What is the purpose of the pastor?
Wisdom.
Wisdom, knowledge.
What?
Wisdom, knowledge.
Wisdom. And what is wisdom?
Realizing that you don't know as much as you think you do.
Learning from the wisdom can come from learning from making those mistakes.
Yeah. Wisdom is you have, like, remember what time is, I know all about a gun, all inside and out and how to break it down. But wisdom is knowing when to use it. And so making right decisions when to use something or not to use something. So wisdom definitely, Pastor Darren definitely needs a whole lot of wisdom to lead this, our flock here. Now we're all perfect, so he really doesn't. No one ever calls him in the middle of the night.
Love.
What kind of love? Is it phileo love? No, God. Unconditional, over and over giving. But one of the main gifts that he needs is the gift of teaching. I mean, his main responsibility is what? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so, but he didn't ask for new gifts. He said, I want you to stir up. Basically, it's saying, I want you to fan that flame again. It's going out. And you know, if you ever had a fireplace and you have a nice fire going, and it's roaring up, but you let it by itself, what's going to happen? It's going to die down and die down. And what do you have to do? You got to get a little poker in there, move that, get that air moving again underneath that logs. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Moves you and stirs you up, that gift. Because we see here that that gift to stir up, because for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Another translation has this sound mind as self-control. Yeah, self-discipline. And so here's Timothy, needing that love, needing that power from God, to recognize he was a timid guy. He was a young guy. And Paul in 1 Timothy, don't let them intimidate you because you're so young. Be bold. Be confident of that calling. So Paul in his last words has said, encouraging him to, with the gifts that are in you, stir it up, use it. And then he goes on in verse 8, it says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. What do you think he's saying here? Do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Or nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. What do you think? What is the testimony of the Lord?
Well, that he sent his son on a rescue mission to save us.
Mm-hmm. What else?
What he's done for us personally.
What's that?
What he's done for me personally.
Mm-hmm. But he also put of me. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed that I am a prisoner of Rome or a prisoner of Christ. I want to share with you, do you know, someone turn to Hebrews 13:23. Here's a man named Timothy, and the writer of Hebrews, now I personally believe it's Paul, but that's my opinion, and everyone has their own. But Paul, or the author of Hebrews, writes in 13:23, towards the end of the book. Carl, would you read that for me?
verse 23?
Yes, sir.
Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly.
And so we see Timothy had that boldness, and he was able to endure the prison. So he's being encouraged by that you'll have to suffer. All that want to live godly will suffer, and encouraging him. And we see that he was actually in prison. But he also was a sickly man. Did you know Paul? In 1 Timothy 5:23, he said, hey, Paul, Tim, why don't you get some wine with you? Don't drink just water alone because of your stomach problems and other ailments. So he was a young man who had some physical issue, but God didn't heal him. So Paul's encouraging him to drink a little wine. Now, for ministers and us, why did God say for kings not to drink wine? What do you think the purpose for leaders not to have wine?
So it won't cloud their judgment.
Oh, and sometimes a judgment could be at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. God said to be filled with the Spirit rather than the wine, which leads to dissipation. So God wants our minds to always be clear, because at any moment we could be called on to go. There's a few times I got a call at 3 o'clock in the morning. Someone wanted to kill himself. I'm running half naked down the road trying to, with my car, to minister to him. And so if I didn't have a sober mind about me, I wouldn't be able to hear and to sense the Holy Spirit speaking through us. So Paul's encouraging him to have a little wine, because it is medicinal. So he's telling him to help in his medicinal. But I want you to go down on verse 13. And one of the things Paul is encouraging him to do is to hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and in love, which are in Christ Jesus. What do you think hold on means to? Who's been on a zip line? How tight was your knuckles around that?
I'm scared of heights, especially ours.
You don't want to get, you're grabbing hold to it with all your might. And so we say, hold on to it with all you got, with all your strength, to sound words. Healthy words. Biblical words. Which you heard from me. Interesting, Paul is saying, no. You just listen just to the Holy Spirit. Now, I think that's true. But God has raised up both men and women today to come alongside to help us to learn sound doctrine. And so we need, as we're going to see, is that God would tell us, Timothy here, in verse 15, be diligent to present yourself to God approved, a workman who does not be ashamed, but to accurately handle the word of truth. So as Paul was teaching Timothy, he was to study himself to see if this is right. Do we remember when Paul went over to Berea? He came out of Thessalonica, and he took out there for 3 weeks and moved on. He said the Bereans were more noble because they searched out what Paul had said. So we need to have ministers, men and female, to help us equip. But we need to be diligently studying ourselves. So Paul's telling Timothy in his final words, be diligent to be approved, not to man, but to God. And not to be ashamed. There's too many people today that are ashamed of the gospel. The shame to stand up when someone asks you about, well, let's use the thing today, transgenders. How do we deal with that with people? Are we going to be ashamed of what God says about certain lifestyles, behaviors? Or are we going to buckle under from the pressure because we don't want to be suffer the consequences of society and what the culture around us? So I just want to leave in the beginning. I'm going to come back later after I finish the third part on emotional healing. But I'm going to leave that we are to be studiers of God's Word. We are to teach our children to search it out. If I tell somebody something in a counseling system, I want you to go search out the truth. That's my responsibility. That's all of our responsibility as disciples, to go and share the truth, help them to grow, but they have to know if what I said is true. Because we have a lot of itching ears out there. And we'll talk about that in another time. So God wants us, our words, to be sound, healthy doctrine. That's why Titus was sent to Crete, to set in order, which is a medical term for, if you have a broken arm that set wrong, and you have to break it, and then reset. That's painful to break something that's set incorrectly. But God sometimes, because that Crete had some strange doctrines, unhealthy, and they had to break it and then reset. And a lot of times people will come our way, and we'll get that the next time I talk on 2 Timothy, on this issue of sound doctrine and the times that we live in. So, any questions? So, are you, as fathers, praying for your kids day and night? Do they know that they can come to you at any time for help? Do you see the genuine faith in your children? Something. Continue to encourage them. Do they see the genuine faith in you? And so, Paul was able to say that. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. And so, any thoughts? Any questions? Miss Heidi sent me a good glimpse, a sight on some of the things our government is doing to us in our foods. And so, hopefully in 2 weeks, we'll get on the track of how nutrition affects us emotionally and some of the labels that we tend to brand each other with instead of looking at it from a biblical worldview and biblical solutions to it. But let us pray. Father, I just thank you for our time to worship with you. I thank you for Timothy, a young man carrying on, passing the mantle by his spiritual dad, Paul. And we ask, Father, that we too would be passing on to our children and other children of the faith, whether they are old or young. That you have called us. Jesus' final words to us as he went up to heaven was to go into all the world, to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. And lo, I will be with you to the end of time. So thank you, Father, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you'll give us those things that we need. And so, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.